Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to welcome you to Garden Enlightenment with Lou U. Wildad. We will be doing front page picks and open poetry. And if you would like to know more about us, you can check us out on Amazon, where poets from all around the world have donated their poetry to help these radio sites. And like I said, they're on Amazon. And just like the name of the group, they are Late Night Poets Anthology Volume. So please go and check them out and support these radio shows This is for the love of the art of poetry. And I just wanted to let you know I'm kind of under the weather today. The IV antibiotics that I've been on are making me sick, so I will try and stay on as long as I can. And Gray Eyes is helping me out today. And Katie, Gray Eyes, can you please pick up the caller so we can get started?
You betcha. Hi, Leah.
Thank you. Hi, Gray.
All right, here we go. Here we go. This is Weaver.
Hey, Weaver.
Hello, my dears. Sorry to hear you're not feeling well, my love.
Yeah, it's the IV antibiotics. Nothing I can do about it. But thank you, sweetie. Welcome, welcome.
Okay, next we have Irish Rose.
Hi there.
Hello, Irish Rose.
Hi. Irish Rose. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Happy to have you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Next we have Laurent Yvonne.
Hey,
Laurent.
Yeah, I was muted. Hey, good evening, all.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the show, Mr. Buttery Voice Man.
Hello there.
Hey. Hello.
And do we have anybody else? I know Frank says he's going to call. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Phil. Okay.
And Dexter.
We're ready to get... And Dexter, yeah, Dexter, is he online yet? Not yet.
No, I can't see him.
Okay.
I'm not still on call.
Okay.
Okay.
Phil says they're all up, so we're doing good.
Okay.
Okay. And you're up, Irish Rose. Did you want to announce her poem, Katie?
I was just waiting for you to say, and what do we have coming up? And then I would have said, we have. It's okay. No, I'm just so used to it. I'm expecting it. So I don't... Okay, no problem. The Fragrance of Spring by Irish Rose. Thank you, Irish.
It's a little late, but thank you so much. The Fragrance of Spring. Spring. My soul breathes in the sweet smells of youngest green that pushes up from the earth, deliberately stirring my thoughts in the mixing cauldron of life, assaulting my nose, ears, and eyes, remembering that life's hypnotic, intoxicating dance that sings. I'm reminded of younger, former days and that striving being spring. An early moving breeze carries a crazy sweetness rising high aloft. Grapevines bloom, bees violate anthers recklessly, flowers release, a climax of pollens, dusty sexuality, violating virgin flowers with glee, an orgy of life's virility, male, female, vines and bees, ecstatic relief, captured in wines, blooming depths of love's raw golden soliloquy, a harbinger to summer's heated passions, filled with pregnant dreams, life incubating in its warmest thoughts, creatively blooming bulbously round globes, encased in stored up sunbeams of red Merlot fantasies, throbbing flesh slowly swelling and increasing with passion's sweet heat, as I affectionately recall life's hot sting and the fragrance of spring in poem.
Oh, that was such a beautiful read. I've got to say that because I love bees, you know, your imagery here is just beautiful. An early morning breeze carries a crazy sweetness rising high aloft. Grapevines bloom, bees violate Bees violate antlers recklessly. Flowers release a climax of pollen dusty. Sexuality, violating virgin flowers with glee, an orgy of life, virality, male, female, vines and bees, ecstatic release. You know, there's nothing like being out in your garden and your flowers and just seeing how these bees just go from flower to flower, also the butterflies. And I just thought that was just, not only did you beautifully read that, but it was beautifully penned.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And I'm sorry if I couldn't read it correctly. Katie, what did you think?
Oh, I wish we had that kind of spring and summer in Scotland. It sounds absolutely wonderful. Beautifully done. Beautifully done, Gwen. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
I love, in my little stupid head, I'm thinking, now these flowers, do their mothers sit them down and give them a bit of information about what's going to be happening with the bees? Or do they just go into this blindly? Watch out for the bees. Okay, I love it. I love bees also. My garden's usually full of them. So beautifully done and beautifully read.
Thanks.
And thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, great. Thank you. And Gray, what did you think?
Yeah, you did a wonderful read on that fabulous write. I like the personification of spring and how it relates to your life. And I thought it was wonderful. Beautiful job.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. And we have another caller. I believe Phil said caller 919 on the line. Who is that? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. That would just be me, Jack Tomkovic from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Hi, Jack.
Hey,
how are
Jack.
You doing? It's so wonderful to hear your voice.
It's been a while.
Hi,
it's been too long. Hi, guys.
Hey, yeah, can
that was
you
a beautiful
stay on
poem,
with
by
this?
The way. I will stay
oh,
for a little
you.
Bit. Yeah, I was trying to see if I could, lobby for getting in and reading my poem and then heading to bed. You know, it's 3 hours later here, but, I'll stay as long as I can. Love you guys.
Okay. All right. let's go ahead and put in a couple of more poems, and then let's get to Jack so that he can
get my beauty sleep, which
poem.
I really need.
Yes. And you do have a poem on the board already, front page pick from June. So
yeah.
We'll get to that shortly. Okay, so
well,
let's go ahead
sweet.
And get it. Thank you. I have you. Perfect time to call you to read your front page pick. Okay, Katie, can we get another poem in? Another poem or two, so then Jack can comment and also read along with read his poem?
No problem at all. Okay.
Hi, Jack.
Great to hear you. All right. This is Like Pampas on the Shores, You Invade Me by Becky Upchurch. And I will give this one a read. Like Pampas on the Shores, You Invade Me. Beautiful picture. The old country has nothing for me without sea oats, marum grass, and lantana to stroll amongst their flexing stems. My thoughts of sea-bound you are heavily brined, wishing to be dissolved in your absence. But like these flora, they abound, and I obliged to grow wildly in love with the sea. Where you are, as close to me you will ever be as I am now, amid the white yarrow, touching me, leaning seaward on sandy soiled land. Wishing to be subjugated by the aura and scent of you again, be planted side by side again on the shores of this madly wild old country, and it not be a dream. End poem.
Oh, you did such a beautiful read on Becky's poem. Oh, let's get her some comments. What did you think about the poem, Gwen?
Oh, I love the imagery, and I love the fact that she mentioned all the different names of the old plants that grow there, and I'm a gardener, so I kind of like that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And how the whole thing makes, that creates the feeling of being there on the coast somewhere, wherever this place is. And it just kind of makes me wish I was there, I could just kind of feel it. I thought it was very well done.
Agreed. Beautiful comment. And how about you, Laurent?
It's a wonderful appreciation of a type of land that's by the sea with specific things growing, the sea oats, the marum grass, and the lantana. But like this flora, they abound and I obliged to grow wildly in love with the sea. That deep appreciation, it seems very visceral. For you're as close to me as you will ever be as I am now, amid the white yarrow. I love the language in this. I love the appreciation of the nature and the countryside, something I think is planted very deeply in her blood, given the beauty of this poem.
Agreed. Beautiful comment. And Jack, I would love to know what you thought of Becky's poem.
Well, Becky's one of my personal favorites anyway. She's such a sweetheart, and she writes the kind of poems that I wish that I could write, maybe when I grow up, but I just loved all this. To me, this is the Atlantic Ocean. I live about 3 hours from the Atlantic Ocean here in North Carolina, and the seagrass, my wife was a marine scientist. I've been out there in leaky waders, so this is all beautiful. Just, you know, brined, heavily brined. It's so salty. I just love
mm-hmm.
it.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Jack. And Miss Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
Sorry, I was on mute. Okay, I'm there. Now we have Jack's poem. So poetry is one by Jack Tompovic. And would you read that for us, please, Jack?
I would really read this, and by the way, thank you. Yes, poetry is number one. Poetry is the sausage of life. It feels like caulk in winter winds, but not pretty in the making. It's guacamole, tasty and calorie-laden, smooth and spicy. It takes me in like an orphan from the storm of my seas. It sorts things out, puts in perspective, relaxes like a down pillow. The world's gentlest mother cuddles and caresses me and shows me how ink marks on paper cannot cut or stab. They're just words, crumpled pieces of paper lit and burned to ignite the fire of another poem that brings light to this pinball of a man. End poem.
You know, I have got to say, you know, your love of poetry and all your different poems that you write about and your imagery is just spectacular. I've got to say, I smiled when I saw you reading your second stanza. It is guacamole, tasty and calorie-laden, smooth and spicy, and it is, you know, and you can tell that you have such a love for words. And I not only enjoy reading your poetry, I also enjoy hearing you read it even more.
Well, thank you so kindly. And I like guacamole. It's really delicious.
Yes, it is. It's delicious. And we eat lots of it down here. I would also like to know what you thought of his poem, Miss Katie.
Oh, it was, again, I'm hungry. Isn't that typical? But so beautifully put that it's no wonder I'm hungry. I mean, you've got your sausages and you've got your guacamole. You know, I've never actually tasted that. Isn't that odd? And I must try it sometime because it sounds delicious. I like this a lot.
Yeah,
I love the fact that... the world's gentlest mother cuddles and caresses me and shows me how ink marks on paper cannot cut or stab. They're just words. I mean, that is just beautiful. But that's the way it should be. It should be a fact of life that you don't get hurt by the words you read, but it's not easy, is it? And
yeah,
I like to. Yes, exactly. We need to be kinder to each other, Jack. That's my belief. And I'm going to start right now by stopping talking. I love that.
Thank you, Katie and Gray Eyes. I would love to know what you thought of Jack's poem.
Well, it was wonderful to hear you read your poem, Jack. But I really enjoyed it. You know, poetry is the salve of life, and it's healing and nourishing at the same time. And I thought it was beautifully written and well read. Thank you so much for sharing.
Appreciate that so much. You guys are great. I feel like I'm the JV and you're the varsity, you know.
No, I don't think so. Thank you, Jack. And Miss Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
Okay. And next, my PC's being a little bit slow, so bear with me. It's not sending.
My computer's going slow, too. I don't know what's wrong with the site today.
It's there and it will not go. Go, you heap of rubbish.
So it's not just me who curses at the screen, okay?
No,
I try not to, but come on, it's an inanimate object. I'm allowed. I'll try.
Well, you know how it works. It doesn't work when you need it to work, and it works when you're not, you know, dilly dallying.
Exactly, it's the tension that gets me. Okay, I did it, yay! I've got Beach Memories by Garden Delights, and Irish Rose, would you read this for us, please?
Sure, not a problem, thank you.
Thank you.
Beach Memories by Garden Delights. Again, poem. Today's beach is pastel pinks and blues, soft strokes of Master Painter's brush. A train of bottom heavy clouds chugs on, each linked car sharp, shaped as friendly animals. One duck, a dinosaur, and sleeping bear on his back, nursery rhymes escorting our sun into tomorrow, while a raw look says possible impending rain. Horizontal ribboning of baby girl pink indicates the recent departure of soul, its warmth following obediently, allowing cool breezes to wander shorelines, gently brushing against our sun-baked skin as we walk in the still warm shallows. Yesterday, a storm brought its bounty to us, striped whelks and purple sea fans, strings of egg cases and bits of sea stars. The coast looked like Christmas under the tree. We collected our presents, excited as children. Smooth surface was a quiet aftermath. We sighed, empty shoreline, deep footsteps, hopping and jumping like merry school children, leaving behind our names immortalized in sand, knowing a hungry ocean would swallow them before we could arrive the next morning. In poem.
That was a beautiful read, and this is a beautiful poem by Garden Delights. I even loved this image that she put up here. So let's get her some comments. What did you think about the poem, Lauren?
It's a very beautiful piece. The sea brings us different days and brings us different emotions, as well as a bounty, which is not only for the body, but for the soul as well. Seems to introduce life each morning. Sometimes that pastel pink and blue beach that speaks to a dawn or a dusk or a storm, bringing the striped whelks and purple sea fans, strings of egg cases, bits of sea stars, or a smooth surface as a quiet aftermath to what went before. It's such a wonderful appreciation, not only of the picture, but of its subject, beautifully done.
Thank you. Wonderful comment, Laurent. And what did you think about the poem, Jack?
I really like the hopping and jumping like merry school children. I've seen kids just, you know, shriek as they run into the waves and run back. And, you know, I remember taking my daughter down there when she was about 18 months old, and the waves would just knock her over, and she'd get up and laugh and run out again. You know, just, and yet each day is different. You know, you get that beautiful sunrise or sunset, and then you get the storm, and then you get the wind, and, you know, each day is different. And this is just beautifully done. Again, I wish I could write like this.
Thank you. What a gorgeous comment. And I would like to know what you thought about the poem you just read, Gwen.
Oh, I really enjoyed the imagery. I always like sea poems or ocean poems, when, like at the beach. There's so many things going on all the time. It's like, you know, multitasking. But it was so well done. I loved her descriptions about the whelks and just the little details that she added to it. It was very enjoyable.
Yes, it was. Thank you. And wonderful comment and beautiful read. Okay, Miss Katie, we're ready for our next front page pick.
Okie dokie. We have. Sorry.
Make me laugh.
I'm trying hard to be sensible, but it's like an impossibility. It just doesn't ever work. Okay. A Single Pebble by Maeve Edmondson. And Luyu, would you like to give a read of that, please?
Yes, thank you. A Single Petal by Mae Evanson. Footprint embedding coarse crane sand, convoying another evening on the beach, hand-picking pebbles along the shore, only a faded memory within reach, tossing two stones inside my crossbody, adding to a cluster of sleek rock, raising my head to the gorgeous view, dotting the seagulls on the dock. Three more footmarks, a trail behind. At the four of curiosity's toll, another slab cunningly catching my eye. Aquamarine glimmering smoky charcoal. Examining the glinting azure specks while casting a cracked feeble smile, the sun-gleamed tint of cerulean blue, jogs my memory of a number on speed dial in the poem. And I would love to know what you thought of this beautiful poem by Mauve, Katie.
Oh, yes, beautiful is definitely the word for this. You can see why this is a front page pick. Beautiful. Again, that first stanza just leads you gently into the poem itself. Footprints embedding coarse grain sand, conveying another evening on the beach. Hand-picking pebbles along the shore, only a faded memory within reach. Lovely. Yes, I enjoyed this. This is very, I could actually have been there, and that picture really helps, doesn't it? That's a rough terrain. Yeah, beautifully done. Love your descriptions, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Katie. And Grey Eyes, what did you think?
I thought it was wonderful. I really like the theme that we have tonight of shorelines and oceans, but it really is fantastic. You know, it's got incredible imagery. You can feel the emotion in it, and, you know, those are hallmarks of a great write, so excellent job and a great read. As well,
thank you. Thank you. What I loved was the beautiful color and imagery that she took me into. You could just literally feel the salt air from the sea just blowing your hair as you're just walking along, collecting, you know, like she says, you know, she was collecting stones of different colors and she was putting them inside her crossbody and, you know, just enjoying the views. And then the dotting the seagulls on the docks, just watching the birds and just listening to them. I thought this was a beautiful poem, and I enjoyed everybody's comments. Okay, Miss Katie, we're ready for our next gorgeous poem.
And next we have Umbrella by Luke Jr. And see, as we have you, Jack, I'm going to put you to work. So would you care to read this for us, please? That sounded a bit threatening. Sorry.
Jack, are you still with us?
I think he's gone.
Great. He might have left because he said it was very late for him.
Yeah, probably has.
Yeah, okay. I see him on the board.
No problem. No problem at all. So, Laurent, would you care to read this for us, please?
Yeah,
are you on
sorry. This? It was. You know, it's I know it's late in North Carolina. A lot later than it. Oh, no, is it? That's, well, where are we here? Umbrella. Umbrella. Rusted steel upon an unwoken moon, shriveled from a medieval birth, torn from a fleshy womb of worth, tied to the shortest and sharpest locks of moon. There's an adventure within the eyes of every teacher. There's a shadow cast on the world of every teacher. Rusted steel grooves. There's confidence in you. Wrapped tight under thick outer light, is woven within flesh. Skeletal structure torn from every molecule of water. There's no reason for the rusted steel night to quench or refresh. Foresight. Darkness within flesh. Outer entrails looped around a crash. Within the faces of darkness, the shadows of shadows, overlaying the figurine that's mirrored in the lady's cowl. Three opaque formations stand riddled with parasites. There's gnawing sharp cavernous teeth emerging from the darkness. The ultimate darkness had crept through the moon's exoskeleton. Rock formations mirrored the skeletal formation of monsters. Rusted steel upon an unlit sun, scribbled from the birth of a nun. She opens her dress like an umber-lit umbrella, torn from a fleshy cocoon of self-worth, tied to the bluntest locks of earth. There's an adventure upon the monsters that run. There's a shadow of doubt cast upon the world of every creature. Rusted steel gauntlets, there's an outer shell in you. Dead man's groan is a crumbling from under the heavy feet of a 50-pound giant that won't admit defeat. She opens her dress for the stone teller, mangled upon a broomstick of a cervical spine. Messages run through the mockery of the forbidden mind. Legends go to rest there with pockets full of minerals. Water drowns the unfortunate. End quote.
Oh, what a fantastic read, Laurent. And what, congratulations, Luke, not only on the front page pick, but on your gold medal. So let's get you some comments. I would love to know what you thought about this poem, Gwen.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it on his inspiration here. I just thought, man, this can't be an umbrella, but it can be. But it's just like, what a great metaphor. I mean, it's just, I don't know where to go with this. So I'll pass for now.
Thank you, Gwen. And Laurent, you read his poem. I would love to know what you think.
All the while I was reading it from line to line, appreciating the phrasing and the images, I felt slight desperation that I'd be called on first and try to explain what I was seeing. And fortunately, Gwen came first. Unfortunately, she gave me no real clues. No, we have darkness and we have an umbrella, and there's certain phrases within this that seem to reference an umbrella, but it's more than that.
It's like possessed.
Well, there seems to be a certain amount of discrimination buried in this. There seems to be a speaking of devouring something, this gnawing, sharp, cavernous teeth emerging from the darkness. And what is the darkness? What is inside of it? There's shadows on showers, shadows overlaying the figurine that's mirrored in the lady's cowl. Is it a figurine of Mary? Is it a figurine of the lady herself? And then it speaks upon rusted steel, upon an unlit sun, shriveled from the birth of a nun. She opens her dress like an fit umbrella. And there's a sense of sacrifice. There's a sense of being forced almost and having to deal with the monsters that run. And the shadows of doubt that cast upon the world by the preacher. You wonder whether this preacher is a representative of the darkness or trying to throw light in it and prove that you're something more than just what's inside. I don't know. It refers to a 50-pound giant that won't admit defeat. Seems to speak to a child that is undergoing some kind of, I don't know.
Transition.
You look at the categories, racism. So let's go with that. Racism. It's a deep poem that deserves an introspective read at least once or twice more. But it is complex and filled with rich imagery and certainly deserves its position.
Now, I had to go look to see what he wrote for. And he wrote for a Into the Darkness with Pam Ray, a poem about the nightmare of witch baby. And, you know, you can just like you were bringing out the darkness and the pain and the suffering, you know. And, you know, there's gnawing, sharp, cadaverous teeth emerging from the darkness. And you can just, that is such a frightening image. Can you imagine you just seeing something come out of the dark with carnivorous teeth. Yes, thank you. I'm not feeling too hot today. The ultimate darkness had crept through the moon's exoskeleton. Rock formations mirrored the skeletal formation of monsters. That his imagery is haunting. It is dark. It is rich with terror. And, you know, he did this very well. And congratulations once again on your gold and on your front page pick, Luke. And now we are ready for our next fabulous front page pick film.
Okay. Our next one is, excuse me, Sunlight Filtered by Lustrum 1985. And I will give this one a read. Lovely, lovely handle. Okay, Sunlight Filtered. The burning sun is filtered through smoke-filled air, crimson-orange fiery rays of sun hidden, temperature falls, sunshine near invisible. Fires burning mouths of fields and timberland, deer displaced, birds flying south, leaving blackened trees and wilting grass, taking generations to plant and grow, lumber prices going through the leaking roofs, fires burning, obscuring the warm sun. End poem. Hello?
Yeah?
Right, Lucy dropped.
Yeah, I think she did. I'll just check here. Yep, she did.
She said be so, right back.
Oh, okay, good. Okay,
over
okay,
to you, my dear. All right. I thought the poem was hard-hitting. You know, it really is the impact that a fire has on the world around it is clear to see, even though it's, you can't see clearly see through the smoke. But it's everywhere, and it's evident that something's burning, and it's unfortunately fields and forests that are burning and animals being displaced. So that's just heart-wrenching. As well as people. I mean, you know, cities here are being evacuated because of fires up north, which is, you know, devastating to all those involved. And so it's a powerful, hard-hitting poem on the subject of fire and the harrowing reality that it releases. So, but beautiful poem, and thank you for sharing. What did you think of the poem, Gwen?
I liked it. I think it was called talking about climate change because I could feel that, and you know, there's so many ways of climate change. You know, one day you're frying, the next day you're flooding, the next day you're being whooshed away up into heaven with a tornado. So it just like depends on where you are, and this was just happened to be a fire, but you know, I felt it was really done well.
Great comment. Thank you. And you read it. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, I was on mute. Oh, yes, I thought this was very good. You can feel the panic and the pain through this. At the penultimate line, when I got to lumber prices going, and I thought, oh, yeah, we're going to have a lovely little cliche here, lumber prices going through the roof, and then I see lumber prices going through the leaking roofs, and that just takes it to that next level, which is, you know, that's really cool. I like that. Because I have nothing against cliches. They're cliches for a reason, but I thought that was wonderfully done. So, oh, good, I like that. So, no, that's a horrible thing. It must be terrible. And the smell, oh, can you even imagine? Oh, dear, not nice. I'm afraid the world is trying to get rid of us. That's my belief. It wants us off the planet. Beautifully done, though. I liked it so much. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And what's up next, Katie?
What's up? Oh, yes, I'll be with you in a moment. Oh, my goodness me. I tell you, if I read and get involved, I completely forget what I'm doing. I'll be there in a second. Da-da-da. Here we have it. Wonderful. We have Garden by Patterson Mooney. And Gray, could you give this a read for us, please?
Sure. You bet. Okay, here we go. Oops, sorry. All right. Oh, here we go. Come on. It's not loading. There we go. Okay. Garden. Blue hydrangeas proliferate randomly in vast garden of color, interspersed with trailing white roses wrapped around oaken trellises. In front of evergreens, backed by blue spruce, breeze-blown daffodils dance, dandelions, dilly-dally, hoping to stave off my little fingers from Mom. Songbirds sing songs of joy, flitting, flying, while skittering, scattering. Squirrels climb, roughened bark, in search of acorns before winter's woe. End poem.
Well, you did a fabulous job in Gray?
Yep.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yep.
Sorry. you did a fabulous job in reading Patterson Mooney's poem, Her Garden. I thought that her imagery was just beautiful as I was listening to you read, especially where it says dandelions dilly-dally hoping to save. I just got a big kick out of that. But let's get some comments. And since I'm not sure who commented last, Katie, I would love to know what you thought of Patterson Mooney's poem.
No problem at all. I love your optimism. Oh, this is lovely. This is, you know, you want to be in this garden. Of course you do, unless you're a dandelion, because then you're in trouble. But I thought it was very, very, very pretty. And somebody who obviously loves to be there with the songbirds sing songs of joy, flitting, flying, while skittering, scattering, squirrels climb, roughened bark in search of acorns before winter's woe. That's just lovely. That's just so pretty. Yes, I liked it an awful lot. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. And I was looking at Hope's comment in our group. She said that this was a wonderful piece of images of sweetness and playful beauty. And Luke put that it is like a garden full of life and beautiful things all expressed with characteristics. The imagery was beautiful too, very well written and great read and write. And I would like to know what you thought about the poem, Gwen.
I really liked it. I like her work. And I liked the way she set the scene. It was just really lovely. It was perfect, the way she put it all together just before the big chill. I know how that is. So everything's really great, and then you know winter's coming, and everything's going to be all tore up. So I like this. I enjoyed it as a gardener.
Great. It was a beautiful poem. Thank you for everybody's wonderful comments, and we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Right. Right. We've got, come on, send. Oh, this doesn't like me tonight.
Yeah, mine's not. No, it's doing the same thing to me. It's taking like 30 seconds to post something.
Yeah, we get so impatient, don't we, these days? We just want everything immediately. terrible habit. Okay. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, garden. No. Hang on.
Yes. They call it a garden. You're right.
Oh, my God. This is so painful. Oh, dear. Okay, sorry, folks. I'm not really this stupid all the time. Okay, this is Secluded Garden by Michael McDermott and Laurent. Could I ask you to read this for us, please?
Secluded Gardens. Evening garden light shot in the splinters as I coped the rejection of a proposal. Then I saw her smile second time. Looked so enchanting, framed by roses. We stayed together way beyond twilight. As Megan questioned family matters, now with castouts to spend furtive days in secluded gardens, avoiding those we know as charlatans. And
did he drop? Did we lose him?
Who?
I thought I heard you. It cut off. Thank you for reading that. This was a beautiful brevity by Michael McDermott, and I really enjoyed your read, Laurent. So let's go ahead and get Michael some comments. What did you think about the poem, Grayite?
Well, Laurent did a wonderful read on that poem. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people in these secret gardens avoiding charlatans that would mock them, you know, disrupt their gatherings. So I thought it was a wonderful write on the subject of secret gardens. Well done.
Thank you, Gray Eyes. And Laurent, you read this brevity by Michael. I would like to know what you think. It's your turn to comment.
Yeah, the evening garden light shot into splinters sounds like what was once a normal evening encountered a real issue. As he states, I coped with the rejection of her proposal. Then I saw her smile for the second time. It looks to me as there was a proposal of some kind made, perhaps marriage, who knows, and then a reconsideration. Then I saw her smile for the second time. We stayed together way beyond twilight as Megan questioned family matters. And to me, the only way they could become cast-outs was because of, I don't know, difference in religion, difference in gender or race or whatever the difference was. They were not, their partnership, so to speak, was not approved of by a lot of other people, perhaps those that are being called charlatans. And those secluded mm-hmm. gardens, of course, is a metaphor for, you know, having to get together in quiet places away from those that they wanted to avoid. As a brevity, it was very skillful. There's a lot to read into the words, but I'm hoping I got it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, when I was listening to you read this, you know, to me, this was a poem of great love and also great pain because, you know, as you were bringing out, you know, it sounded like they had to hide in secluded gardens so that their love wasn't exposed. And then it showed that, you know, he was infatuated with her smile. I guess when he saw that she showed up in that secluded garden and, you know, and it talks about, like you were bringing out, that there were differences, family matters, whatever those family matters can be, because it can be so many different things. And, you know, it just, he points out that in those days, their love survived the charlatans, the people, you know, who put up, I would say, rules or regulations that were, how do I say, when you, those rules and regulations that really don't matter today, because, you know, I find that when you love somebody and if you stay with them and that exceeds everything. That's just my opinion, whether it's religious or it has to do with race or it has to do with other family matters. So I really enjoyed this poem, and I hope that whatever happened, that it worked out. Okay, Miss Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
Righty-ho. And next we have, if it will decide to actually go anywhere, come on. There we are. Anubis, Breath by Lilia. And Gwen, I think you would do beautifully to read this. So I wonder if you would do that for us.
Sure. Anubis. Anubis, Breath. Anubis yawns, sandstone jaws agape. Temple reeks, flesh, gifts for nether gods. My flesh withers, fouling his dais. Blood fills chalices. Hate fills dye stone. Hinges groan as my hand grasps a lock. Captain Tuatha, no peace, only shrieks eternal. In Ifrit's smoldering nest, I fought the binding straps as dawn lit the inner locust. Word stick, scratch in throat. Screams rattle, reliquaries. Gates of gleaming shadow ooze black fog. Flames shrank to ash, ashes sunk to dust. My essence, you. To Ipep's jaw, timeless. Flesh marks, doomed, given. Relentless jaws rimmed and ripped my being, leaving nothing but a hollow. Ordinations howls forever. End poem.
Well, what a fantastic read you did of Gwen's poem, Anubis Breath. So let's get her some comments. Katie, what did you think of Lila's poem?
Oh, yes. Beautiful. Beautifully read, by the way, Gwen. Thank you so much. Anubis. We say things differently. I say Anubis, and you do. Anyway, it doesn't matter how we pronounce things. I love the way this is set out. I'm sorry. My mind goes off on tangents. I do apologize. I will try to concentrate. What I loved was the shorthand. I had to learn shorthand as a child, and let me tell you, it's the language of the devil. Should never have been allowed. But it's very cute. Anubis John's sandstone jaws agape, temples eat flesh, gift from nether gods. My flesh withers, fouling hell's dais, blood-filled chalice, hate-filled to stone. Wow, this is deep.
Well, I thought that was the end of it.
Well, it probably is. No, is it?
I don't know. I couldn't. I thought that was the end at the top, but it's confusing. I can't see if that
it goes on for some time.
Yeah, I totally missed that. I apologize.
No, I don't. I don't think you did. I honestly don't think you did. I think.
Yeah, there's a there's a long. It's she puts like I guess hieroglyphic.
Right.
And then it goes.
Right.
Yeah, it goes down there. Would you like to finish read this, Gwen?
Sure. Let me finish it. Okay. I'll take it from the last part. To Apep's jaws, timeless. Flesh marked, doomed, given. Relentless jaws rend and rip my being, leaving nothing but a hollow. For dimensions howls forever. Of ancient dread I sing, departed souls, whom Anubis yawning wide did greet, his jaws of stone did gape to swallow up the flesh that temple reeked with. Offerings were made to nether gods below, where my wasting flesh did foul his gloomy, fiery hall. Chalices were filled with hate, while dyes took stones of spite, as my hand gasped, freaking locked, imprisoned in that place. No peace was there, only shrieks from Ifrit's nest of coals unceasing filled my ears as bonds me melt. The dawn within did locust wings ignite. My words did stick within my throat like thorns as relics rattled, when my screams shook walls. Fog issued from gate of shadow dim, as ashes sunk, where flames did sink, my essence given at last away, unto those jaws timeless. My flesh was doomed and marked, given those jaws relentless, rent and tore, leaving naught but hollow, where damnation howls forever.
What an intensive poem. You read this fabulous. Now that we got to hear the whole poem, would you like to remake your comment, Katie? Katie?
Hello?
Sorry. Yeah, would you like to, update your comment since we hadn't read the whole poem yet?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean.
To make a comment on Lila's poem after Gwen finished reading it.
Okay. I'm sorry. You want me to make a comment now?
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Sorry. I didn't quite realize what was going on there. I do apologize. Yes, beautifully read, Gwen. Thank you. I thought this was wonderful. I really did. It's one of those, again, where there is so much in this. You see the AN. The information that's been put there for us is very clever. I like when people do that for you. I did like I like the fiery demon figure. It's in Arabian mythology. Ifrit's lives desperate places. Yes, I've heard. I have an author that I really enjoy who writes a lot about archaeology, and you get all that kind of thing from her as well, Egyptian things. Lovely. So, yes, I really enjoyed this. It needs to have a little bit more of a read for me, but I liked it a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And Luke Jr. from the group says, Anubis always fuels my mind with mystery and creativity. Egypt itself does this. The first two lines is an excellent introduction. I immediately imagine Anubis with the closing jaw. I also like how there's a mention of the type of stone used. We could just write stone, but sandstone is a great way to describe it. Great work and vivid imagery. Thank you, Luke, for that fantastic comment. And Kind Poet said, this is a most unique poem that I've read here. I love the symbols, great work in imagery and language. And also, I would love to know what you thought about the poem, Gray Eyes.
Well, I thought it was fascinating. You know, it had all these characters from so many different facets of mythology around the world, which was deeply engaging. And I thought, you know, you did a beautiful read of it, Irish Rose. So great job. Thank you for sharing, Layla.
Thank you. And let's get one more comment. Gwen, I would like to know what you thought of the poem you just read.
I thought it was an amazing adventure through 4,000 years of history. And the god Anubis is such a, you know, he's like, you read in the notes down here, such a trickster, such a jackal. And you see him a lot around in their hieroglyphs and different things. And I thought it was really amazing how she wove it into the story with the ceremonial meanings to it, too. And, of course, unless you're really woven into Egyptian archaeology, it's kind of hard to pick up from the outside. But I really, really thought she did an incredible job, the way she fleshed it out with the metaphors for her poem. Nice piece.
Thank you so much. And I would like to welcome Frank to the show. Hi, Frank.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We got a great connection.
Hello.
So welcome.
It's always a pleasure.
Welcome. And now we're ready for our next poem.
No problem. I just want to say that I have renamed Frank. He is now, can you hear me?
I'll take that as a compliment, Weaver.
It certainly is. I know it's you when I hear that. Oh, wonderful. Okay, next one we have is Completely Altogether Fluctuating by Betty Upchurch. And Louie, would you give this a read for us, please?
Mm-hmm. Okay, give me just a second. Because my, get this thing. Okay, here we go. Completely Altogether Fluctuating by Becky Upchurch. I am totally in flux. A version of who I was will in an instant erupt like a westerly breeze alive in the sweetness of smaller things to a cloudburst of anger, too full, built up, and either terror or storm will fall. I am more than changing like a season but defies herself as needs arise. I wake to the east, sleep to the east, but I face forward, advancing, slower now as pacing is not choice but consequence. But at least I notice the scent of gardens, the fast sprint of deer and shapes of clouds, how quickly they change, how far they go, and how far I've come, how much more I will give through seasons of me, vibrant as a sunrise, reverent as the sunset. End poem. Oh, what a gorgeous poem by Becky. So let's get some comments. What did you think about the poem, Laurent?
Well, I think that she has grasped very keenly the fact that we as people are ever-changing, a totality in flux, completely altogether fluctuating. A version of who I was will in an instant erupt the westerly breeze alive in the sweetness of smaller things to a cloudburst of anger. Too full, built up in either terror or storm will fall. Here or a storm will fall. I've found that as we get older, I'm more prone to anger, more prone to immediate disappointment, perhaps, insofar as taking a moment to gather thoughts, I will yield to an outburst. But I also sense that it is something that you can't control despite the outbursts. And as a person who's changing, like a season, but defines herself as needs arise. You know, as you move from one consequence to another, one need or one action, you know, you're going to define yourself for that moment as something to cope with that need. Her pacing is slower. As we age, our pacing slows, but not to the extent that we're not going to notice gardens, nature, the beautiful shapes of clouds, and regardless of what else happens, how much more I will give those seasons of me, vibrant as a sunrise, reverent as a sunset. She puts a nice capstone on the piece of that last line. Really beautifully.
Yes, she does. Beautiful comment. Frank, I would like to know what you thought of Becky's poem.
Yeah, first of all, I thought it was a good...
Frank?
Well,
we lost you. Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes.
I didn't warn Weaver about this. So I'll try to stay on as long as I can with the connection, of course.
Okay.
I thought the poem just personified, you know, the whole notion of seasons. You know, I agree with what Laurent was saying there. You know, you get older, you know, there's an array of alterations of feelings, you know, emotions and thoughts. And I just thought overall the poem was just fantastic. Very well conveyed as well.
Agreed. Wonderful comment, Frank. And then in our group, we have Luke J.R. Very well-constructed flow reminds me very much of a teardrop slowly dripping from leaf to leaf until it reaches the ground, very vibrant, right, with beautiful imagery. And then Hope Soul, I love the standing and realization in your journey, knowing it isn't over. The seasons of one's life metaphors for our ups and downs, changes in our own self. Wonderful, right? And those are just fabulous comments, everybody. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Okay. Yeah, we've got Your Shape by Arlishta. And Gwen, would you give this a read for us, please?
Cool. Your Shape by Arlist, begin poem. The bed retains your shape, once lost to sleep. Here a hip, there a thigh, the curve of your back, the weight of your breast. I have loved this shape for decades now, kneading it into living flesh, cleansing it from all discord, calculating the geometry of sex, soft angles of desire, fluid vectors of hope. Divots near the base of your spine, your crooked clavicle, broken as a child. I have tended to your will, broken by the force of circumstance. I've mastered the way of no force. Shape embodies us, forms ourselves as they rise above bedroom walls into the clean world. We may sculpt, bathe, and smooth our shapes, but we are derived from no Tuscan quarry of uncut marble. We bleed. We have blessed the kiss of Odin, waited in rain to enter his domain. We've embraced Klimt's, the kiss, the golden explosion of interlocking shapes guiding us to the edge of his darkened town. We have turned Paris sidewalks into Le Chemin de la Liberté, roads of transport and delight, our bare feet squeezing impression in oozing mud, levitating above the Seine, guided by shuttered bookstalls, lined up as soldiers on the river's bank. Here your shape has taken on Europa's shape, but you've escaped the lusty weight of Zeus the bull. Floating now above our bed, caught in the trappings of myth, I outlay your shape in the sheets, which will change directions in the surreal stirrings of night, your arms outstretched to a new dawn. Laura, in poem.
Oh, what a beautiful tribute to Laura, and what a gorgeous read, Gwen. Thank you so much. So let's get Arlis some comments. Our poet next to comment is Katie.
Okay, excuse me. If I cough again, I do apologize. Losing my voice, okay. Yes, this is absolutely lovely. I mean, this is what a lovely thought to write something to somebody that you really love. It's so cool. I thought this was beautifully written. There's so many lovely stanzas. You can't really pick out one, can you? But, yeah. It's so sad. It's had very well, and I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And Gray Eyes, you're next to comment.
You know, it was very loving, reverential, filled with delicate imageries and emotions. You know, you can see this impression on his sheets as he described it. So just a beautiful read and an excellent write.
Thank you, Gray Eyes. And our next poet to comment is Gwen. I know you read this, but it is your turn to comment. I would love to know what you thought about this beautiful poem for Laura.
Oh, I thought it was a really sensitive write, and I thought I loved the imagery, the way he flowed with so many different scenes within it. And it was just, like other people have said, very delicate, very loving write. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. And thank you, Gwen. And you did a beautiful read of his poem again. And we're ready, I think.
Can I just say one quick thing?
Yes, sir.
Not so much on the poem, but look, this won the gold and Kevin. Kevin recently changed auto rank, confused everybody, certainly confused me. I said, my chance to find out why this poem did so well, other than the fact it's a beautiful poem, obviously, and well-written.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this scores a 10 in professional. So for those of you who want to know how to score a 10 under the new, take this as an example of what's going on. I mean, it was rated an 8 only because, you know, you repeat the first word of the lines too many times, which is BS anyhow. So just sort of jump in there so people can say, how do I get a 10 anymore? This is the way.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I've gotten to the point where now I just write to write. Otherwise, I find that sometimes it becomes too mechanical and it loses its emotion. And sometimes, you know, when I've gotten a 10, I'm actually shocked. Like, really? You know, but now, I just write to write because, you know, they were talking. In fact, I think it was Frank or somebody mentioned one time in one of the shows that, for example, Poe, he would have never ranked a 10 on a lot of his poetry.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think you had brought that out one time and some other poet's names, but anyways, poetry is poetry and
I enjoy it.
Yes, agreed. And thank you for that. He changed the auto rank again.
I
don't get the 10.
Everything that was a 10 is now a 1 or a 2. Anything that used to be a 1 or a 2 is now a 10 in my book. It's crazy.
Well, they put 1.5 now. It's not really a 1. Sometimes.
Luke just put. Yeah, Luke just put in the group that he would give Gray an 11.
There you go.
Okay. Let's go ahead and, well, you know what, Katie, let's just start open poetry and then we'll go back to front page pick.
Yep, that's what I've got. Excellent. Okay, we have Ribs and Chicken Wing Combo by Nunu Cardoso. And
making me hungry there.
I know, me too. It's always food, isn't it? Gray, would you care to read this for us, please?
You bet. Okay, here we go. This is called Ribs and Chicken Wing Combo by Nuno Cardoso. To write well, be a pig and enjoy being it. Have flaws, have problems, be easily corrupted, don't care about the right, and be the most transparent possible. Care not about the rivers, the mountains, and landscapes. They speak of nothing, beautiful or wise. Everyone thinks they are, except me. I don't care. Couldn't care less about words wearing tuxedos when I don't know them. I do not care. A fistful of french fries, gobble it down. In they go, throat down, yellow prize slide, hear the crisps being crushed by teeth, chewed with an open mouth, like a Nord, a Viking, a man, a god, a warrior. I haven't gotten to the chicken wings or to the piano-shaped lamb ribs, laced with barbecue sauce, cornbread with seeds, yogurt sauce with purple leaves, or finishing eating my meal. I had to come to write about eating first fist of fries and home. And it is awesome. Eating like a warrior.
I've got to say, you know, Nuno is just like in your face. He just writes whatever his soul and his desires want to spread across a white page of canvas. And I enjoy it because, he's just like, to write well, be a pig, and enjoy being it. And that's funny because we were just talking about Otter Rank. You know, I write to express myself. I really don't, I'm not writing to impress somebody else. It's the expressions of myself and what I see. And, especially, Phil had this fabulous contest about acorns. And there was these little people this man made out of acorns, and he put them in different scenery and everything. And, it's kind of like that rib, that picture looks so juicy to me, and with the barbecue sauce and the tang, and, and that's what I love about Nuno's poetry. It's that emotion that he has just to let it go and write it down, and I admire that. I would like to know what you think about the poem, Laurent.
Well, eat like a warrior. Tomorrow you may die. I can't think of a thing better than a fistful of French fries to use as the beginning of the second part of this under I Don't Care, because when I've just gone through the drive-in at McDonald's and I dig into the bag and those French fries are still hot, I got one hand on the steering wheel, I'm looking left and right, my hand is trying not to drop the greasy fries, and you shove them in your mouth hoping a sharp one doesn't poke your cheek, and you crunch down on those things. I got to agree, that is the best. So, yeah, I'm full of admiration for this whimsical, funny, so human piece.
I'm going to have to go with you to McDonald's one time.
Yeah.
Great comment.
Eat those fries.
And our next poet's comment is Frank. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to say much about the fries. I try to stay away from them. But poem. It's a reminder of Nuno's ability to write.
We lost you again.
It's more of being real. And for that reason, I think that he knows how to write poetry in this regard. It's a fantastic job.
Thank you. And let's get our third comment. Katie?
Uh-huh. Well, I think it was written incredibly well. It's a little bit unfortunate that I'm vegan, but I can also understand. I'm such a liar.
You eat me.
Of course I do. Anytime I can. I thought it was wonderful.
I thought I'd be propping the veggies for you there, Katie.
I do love me a good carrot. But apart from that, I thought this was absolutely wonderful. I love it. Hear the crisps being crushed by teeth, chewed with an open mouth. I love his feeling of liberty, He doesn't indulge anybody. He just goes for it. I want him to write some time about how he feels when he has a lovely day out and enjoys everything. I want that so much for him. And I think it's a very, very interesting poem and very cleverly written. And I really enjoyed it. And I'm hungry again. So well done. Thank you so much for sharing. Hello?
Great comment, Lieber.
Thank you, my dear.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. What do we have next, Weaver?
Next we have, oh, and by the way, that thank you for sharing is not actually my my invention. I pinched it from somebody else. Anyway. Yes, the next one we have is Cuff Me by Poetic Picasso. And there is a SoundCloud for this. So I wonder, Gray, if you could go into the studio and get that one. Thank you.
Here we go. Yeah. Suppose it racks me like a sizzling flame, igniting my passion. Dressed in sensual black, she seduces me with her round, luscious lips. Her exotic eyes dare me to be naughty and inquisitive. Her flirting hips move like a femme fatale on the run. She wants to play a lustful game of cops and robbers. Tie me up tonight with just some erotic winking whisper that arouses me. Make me beg with desire like a sinful criminal. She touches and frisks me slowly with her lawful fingers of pleasure. Her lips invite me to taste the cool sip of the moisture. She feels the stiffness between my manly thighs, packing heat. Attempting to ease the dominance of the persuasion, I wait to be put in her cruise car, ride from the back seat. Her name evokes a delicious moan of my surrender. She grabs onto the tip of my Glock 19, loaded, blowing a sexy puff. Cuff me as you come. Fabulous, right? You know, way to burn up the airwaves, Frank. You know, you can feel the heat rising from the fire of that right.
I'm going to blame Pav for this one, for that inspiration. Pav, if the prop for one of the contests, the prop itself was a very good prop. So I have to give her credit for this poem as well.
Wow!
Thank
amazing
you, Frank.
Job.
So, Gray Eyes, I'd like to know what you liked about Frank's poem.
I like everything about it. You know, you can picture all this as you read it. And, you know, it's just a fantastic heat-filled right. Cuff Me is the beginning of which is, you know, hot stuff, playing cops and robbers. I mean, you know, you can work me over anytime.
Yeah, I was listening to him read, and that ending stanza was like,
Oh, it's not a misspelling there. Let's not go there. It's no misspelling there.
No, but I did like the stanza where you wrote, hold on, the one where you're talking about a criminal. That was, make me beg with desire like a sinful criminal. Oh, my goodness. Makes me wonder where your thoughts are, Frank. Ay, que caliente.
Ay, que rico.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. You make me start giggling like I'm a teenager. And so
it's against department rules to let anybody touch your gun.
That's a good point there.
Well, we got a lot of packing men on this show. I got to ask Gwen. I thought I heard Gwen snicker. So, Gwen, I would like to know what you liked about Frank's poem. Gwen? Is she still there? She dropped?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I
heard. Okay. All right. Katie, what did you think?
Yes. God, I've got a cough. I have to say, you're getting just a little bit closer to the bone, if you don't mind me saying so, than you have before.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Well, that's what you're hearing. You're stuck in heat there, Katie. That's what happened. Yeah?
Oh, my goodness me. I really, my goodness, is all I can say. I think this is so good. I mean, come on. This has got to be written up somewhere on a wall. She touches and fists me slowly with her lawful fingers of pleasure. I mean, hello. I've got to find a wall I can write graffiti on. This is too cool. And I won't read anymore because I'm blushing. Beautifully done.
Yes, am I.
dear me, I think my mic's melting. Ah, wow.
Well, there you go, open the window there.
It's open wide. That's all I'm going to say on that one. It's open wide.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you so much, Frank. I love that. I loved it. Thank you. More of the same, please. Very good.
Well, we're picking you up for prisoner.
Yeah, well, in the group, Zorp said that this is an incredibly deep. Oh, I think that's the wrong word. Incredibly deep, right? with a wonderful read and very well expressed. The music adds the atmosphere. The cuffs are starting to sound enticing with the voice alongside. And then he goes in, there's now smoke in the room. And I don't know where the smoke is emitting from. I'll never look at a gloss the same way again.
Oh,
my goodness.
Oh, don't blame me now for the night. It was one of these
I was just trying to not. Yeah, I was trying not to stop coughing, but. Your poem didn't help. Makes it hard for everybody to breathe in the room. Okay.
Just breathe.
We are ready for our next poem. I'm breathing.
You can do this. One deep breath at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm enjoying this so much. Okay. Sensible voice. Coming to Terms by Hope Soul. And Gwen, could you read this for us, please?
She dropped.
Oh, no. Oh, bye-bye, Gwen. I hope you come back. Okay, I'm coming to terms. I will read this. Sorry, Hope. I'll do my best, okay? Coming to terms. I have been touched somewhere I shouldn't have, in places that fills me with shame. To be touched this way changes you, takes the reality out of everything, causes air to thicken and line your lungs. Fingerprints of who I was are left under the nails of friends, classmates, boyfriends. God knows who else. My mind only gives me fragments of memories, flashes of bruises, agony, torment. Parts of me are scattered all around my adolescence. From this I have learned how to fly, leave my body and mind disassociated. Disassociation, the friends that keeps on giving. Drift when things get too hard. realizing the difference between yours and mine. My body is mine. My heart is mine. My emotions are mine. These scars are mine. What you did to me is yours. You did it. You chose to take. I didn't deserve it or ask for it. I was touched, and that action has kept me hiding from myself. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. Would you like to read her author's note, Katie, please?
Yes, of course. No problem. Lately, I have been working on healing the little girl who is inside of me. I have never realized something that I ran from, and writing is helping me. This was just a free-flow writing. Usually, I write on paper and edit. This poem I just typed and shared without editing, just straight from my head to here. End comment.
You know, I feel very sorry that you've gone through this. Some of us have, you know, we have a lot of scars inside that a lot of people aren't aware of. And to put, you know, when we're young, you know, we want to give everything, our heart and our soul, to the people that we love, and they abuse it, and they just, you know, they don't love us the way that we love them. And, you know, I find this deeply sad because I have gone through a lot of these things in here, and I can understand the emotion, but there comes a time when hopefully that we realize, especially with writing tends to be very healing, that we start to realize that our body is ours and it's okay to say no. And I want to, muchos besitos, hope, lots of kisses. Let's get you some comments, Laurent.
Yeah, this poem touches me in places I didn't even know I had. A lot of guys, probably me too, can be really insensitive when it comes to how a physical touch or a physical moment, if I can say it that way, makes a young girl feel inside and how it can reach the depth of a scar. And then just when you need friends, people to stand by you in times of emotional duress, those people who are there in the good times aren't there in the hard times. They just drift away, as the poem says. And sometimes even the individual themselves don't realize the kind of scars that are left. And then to wake up and discover that you have them is always kind of a surprise, and then you have to deal with it. But I think she deals with it in this poem exceptionally well. It's very deep, very emotional, very true.
Thank you, Laurent. And Frank, I'd like to know what you thought of it, Paul.
First of all, I want to just say, Hope, if she's listening, this is a very personal poem that I really found so, so powerful and so moving. You know, I don't know to what extent the scars are that she still maintains, but I think she just brought up in this poem, she really, the emotions she shared, the metaphors, but most importantly, the words were just so powerful. I thought she did a fantastic job with the poem.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And Katie, I would like to know what you thought of Hope's poem.
There are times when you read a piece of poetry and you think to yourself, oh my goodness, I hope this is fiction, which I did with this, and now I know it isn't, and I can fully appreciate the feeling. It's a feeling of you've lost the trust you had in people. You lose the trust you have. You wonder, why me? Mm-hmm. What have I done? I have had exactly the same experience, so I can fully empathize with this, because it's a pain. It's like everything. If it's not something that's visual, somebody can't see a broken arm or a broken leg, they don't know what you're suffering inside. And there are so many things that bring it back to mind, no matter how often you try to forget. A smell, looking at somebody on the street and thinking it's somebody that you know, that it's them. It's a horrible feeling. So all I can say is I hope that time heals a little more, and a little bit more of this writing things out, I think, could help as well. And it makes people know that they're not alone. Other people in the world are feeling exactly the same feeling of loss, because it's loss of your childhood, basically, isn't it? So mm-hmm. it's touched me very, very much, and I am so sorry that you had to go through this. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Okay, sweetheart, would you please put in our next poem? Are you okay?
Yes, my dear, I'm fine. I'm just I love these shows because you go from laughter to tears within a second, and it's all the emotions are tied up in other people's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful, it really is. So we have when life troubles me. When life troubles me, and well, Gwen isn't here, is she? Okay.
No. The next poem I love poems. Phil could not find the recording. So if you could have Laurent read that.
Yes, sorry, I just remembered that. I had it written down on my pad and didn't look. It doesn't help, does it? Why do I write things down, Laurent?
That's okay.
Laurent.
No, you get it when
okay.
Well, life troubles me. Quand la vie me trouble. When life troubles me and I want to cry, I close my eyes. A silence comes over me. A ray of sunshine penetrates my soul. My spirit takes me to the blue sky. I get lost in my reverie, for my heart breathes the sweetness of flowers. Hears the music between the branches of the trees. Feels the gentle warmth that brushes my body. My smile comes back to me. Quand la vie me trouble et je veux pleurer, je ferme les yeux, un silence m'envahit, un rayon de soleil pénètre mon âme, mon éditeur m'emporte vers le ciel bleu, je me perds dans ma rêverie, où mon cœur respire la douceur des fleurs, entends la musique entre les branches des arbres, sans la douce chaleur qui frôle mon corps, et mon sourire me revient. Enfant.
Thank you, Laurent, for reading that for us. You did such, I enjoy listening to you read in French. It's just beautiful. You know, one of the things that I love about Salwa, the emotions that she also puts in her poems, you know, where she talks about, you know, when she feels with sadness. And, you know, for me, when I feel, I have always found safety in nature where I could hide, and no matter what I was going through in my life, the sadness or abuse, the sun always penetrated my soul. To hear the birds singing outside, to smell the flowers, you know, the scent of the flowers, and to watch the bees and the ladybugs and the butterflies, it would always enchant me. And no matter what I was going through, it would give me a warmth that I wasn't receiving. And I did find myself, just like Sawa did, I would find myself smiling, and I could just see her out in the sunshine, and no matter what she's going through, that she would find happiness in nature, and I thought this was such a beautiful poem. And, Gray, I would like to know what you thought of Sawa's poem.
Well, you did a beautiful read of it, Lawrence, and I enjoyed the poem, you know. When life troubles me, you know, you go into nature to heal you. And, you know, it offers such a relief and a release from those pressures of life that torment you. And, you know, it's a beautiful escape into nature, which is caught wonderfully. But I really enjoyed, I get lost in my reverie, where my heart breathes in the sweetness of flowers. Hears the music between the branches of the trees. Feels the gentle warmth that brushes my body, and my smile comes back to me. Yeah, beautiful, right? Very touching.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to read some of the comments in the group. Luke Jr. says, it is what I call an emotional roller coaster, and I'll always call it that, and that's what I love about poetry. Transitions from happier to sad to different feelings and emotions being explored. And then Hope wrote that this was a wonderful write. It felt so intimate and had a great perspective. And, you know, these are just beautiful comments. And Laurent, you read Sawa's poem, and it's your turn to comment next. I'd like to know what you thought.
Well, I think I can agree with everyone about the way she writes, the beautifulness, the gentleness, the contrast, and transitions that she handles so skillfully between being happy, being sad, and then sometimes bring us right back, usually to a sense of hope. I enjoyed the reading the French. I'm incredibly rusty, but it worked out all right. So, yeah, I appreciated that a great deal.
Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
And off mute. Yes, the next one we have has a SoundCloud, and it's I don't know if this is the correct link to it, but it's all I've got. And this is Poeta de Cabra. That's his poem, and the SoundCloud.
Okay, here we go.
He's ready. My Poeta de Cabra. The old man rises from his chair, pain near more than he can bear. Looks out through a dirty window to a garden she planted years ago. Memories bring a tear to his eye as he tries his hardest not to cry. He misses her badly, his loving wife. Too early, cancer had taken her life. Very old and frail now, he can hardly walk. Stares at the flowers, smiles, hears her talk. Soon, he too will be buried in the elements, with his darling beside that old picket fence. Wanted to fix the fence, but too old and frail. Even the house could use a hammer and nail. Old man's not worrying now, for his life is over. Just wants to be with her, in flowers and clover. Built the house over 60 years ago, together. Lived through hail, shine, all sorts of weather. Whilst he worked, she made the house a home. Tall and garden, where many a seed was sown. Had a few kids too. Think 7 was the tally. Managed to have best garden in the valley. Sat together on the porch each and every day in old rocking chairs till the sad and fateful day. All through the year her favourite flower blooms above her grave, sending out divine perfumes. Scent reminding him of his sweet loving wife who helped make his such a memorable life. He leans on the windowsill in excruciating pain, knowing that soon they will be together again. Old and wrinkled now, with nothing left to live for, wants to join his wife now, and for nothing more. Seems she is summoning him to be together, and he knows that nothing ever lasts forever. Made up his mind, he's ready for the Lord to take, and when he goes to sleep tonight, he shall not awake. End poem.
Oh my goodness, this, you know, Poeta, I really enjoy listening to him read. This is just beautiful work. You know, it's deeply touching. It's heartfelt. You know, this couple that has been together for years in their life, and, you know, she's passed away. And, you know, it's the longing that he has to be with the person that he has always loved the most. Frank, I would love to know what you think of Poeta's poem.
Well, you know, it's a very touching poem. You know, he speaks a lot in this poem. You know, he talks about memories, about a loved one. And, you know, I think we can all identify with this type of poem, you know. You know, and it just made me heartbreak a little bit because of the notion of that she's passed away and he's waiting. So I thought he did a fantastic job.
Yes, I do. It's beautiful. And what did you think, Katie?
Oh, another heartbreaking piece of poetry. I can just imagine. I mean, that kind of love, my goodness me, isn't that something that everybody would want, that you're together for so long? But it's that end, that ending is the saddest thing because you're not together anymore. And the fact that you are now living your life waiting to join her, that's touching and sad and wonderful all at the same time. Beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. I love your read. Yeah. And you get that first stanza, you know exactly what we have. The old man rises from his chair, pain near more than he can bear. Looks out through a dirty window to a garden she planted years ago. Oh, sadness. Yeah. Beautifully written, beautifully read. Thank you so much, Poeta.
Agreed. And Gray, I'd like to know what you thought of Poeta's poem.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoy his read. You can feel the emotion in his voice as he reads through his right. And, you know, the right is very touching. You can picture this whole scene with this old man and his pain and his physical pain and his emotional pain, and then ready to let go and let the Lord take him to where when he goes to sleep and so he wouldn't awake. Very heart-wrenching and full of excellent imagery as well. So great job.
Great. Thank you, Gray. And Hope says, this may be emotional. The reality and nothing everlasting, the sadness. The story and the stanzas give heavy images, which brought tears to my eyes as I heard him read. Thank you, Hope. Okay, we're ready for our next poem.
Right, well, actually, what we have next is Dex is right, and it says he will call in, which obviously he's not been able to do. So would you like me to read this one, or should I leave it and go on?
No, let's just go in and read it. I don't know why he wasn't able to call in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. So we have Sliding Across Silk by Duke of STP Dex Bailey. And Gray, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure, you betcha.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have Sliding Across Silk by Duke of STP Dex Bailey. Sliding Across Silk. Sliding across the sandy exist of time, predators and prey present along every step. They live where I die. They feel where I hurt. They live where I kill. They kill where I thrive. Practices and medicine, health and interaction, love and positivity, strength and mobility. The Silk Road is such a dangerous yet beautiful stretch where we learned everything about ourselves along the way. End poem.
Gray, can you take over the comments? Because I need to cough. All right, bye.
Okay. Frank, what did you think?
Well, you know, and such, you know, it doesn't have much. This poem is not lengthy, but the poem just impacts you from the beginning there. You know, when he talks about the sandy excess of time. You know, just so notions, there's so many images in my mind that went through. But I thought he did a fantastic job of conveying the essence of the poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes, this was beautifully written. Well done, Dex. I really enjoyed this. Sliding across the sandy exit time, predators and prey present along every step. Ah, wow. And I like the last few lines. The Silk Road is such a dangerous yet beautiful stretch where we learned everything about ourselves along the way. Yeah, I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Laurent, what are your thoughts?
I don't want to say I'm confused, but I'm drawn by different elements in different directions. When I see sliding across the sandy exit of time, predators and prey present along every step, I don't quite know how to take the next four lines, because, you know, as I read and we're talking about the Silk Road, well, the Silk Road is a famous trade route, which opened up a great deal of one society to another society. So I can see where practices in medicine come from. And maybe even positivity, that love and the positivity, the strength and the mobility that all such interaction brings. Yet I don't know where to place they live where I die, they feel where I hurt, along with where we learn everything about ourselves along the way. It all seems to fit, but yet it brings me in different directions. the imagery is there. It's well done, and I like it, but I'm wrestling with some meanings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But wonderful comment, very thoughtful, and thank you. All right, Weaver, what do we have next?
And next we have, oh, it's playing as good. They Exist by Laurent Yvon. So, Laurent, could you read this for us, please?
Yes. This was off of one of Richard Weissman's tests. And it's prompt number 13, shut your eyes and see. Well, they exist. Bright suburban morn. Drown in the new age of supercycle screamers who beat at you with crowns of thorns. Old voices in new aspect, making it all great again. They protect their truth, unassailable facade of gray, monolith that is their thought, electing the formerly unelectable, gifting the jesters and clowns with power. They shut their eyes, pretending to see, blank-faced and cracked out their world, their play, and scared shitless, so the coming move may not be a brilliant one. Out to lunch. Aristophanes, where are you now? Lucky lad of long ago, your name still rings familiar after centuries. You are an immortal. Your opinion, please, on our debacle. Everyone lives in rooms of stones, thrown and be thrown at architecture. You don't have to go to school for that. It's a talent, bearing on all circumstances, offered at birthright. Offered at birth as birthright, it's in the Constitution. Bother the fast food gulls, loud squawking things, flocks of infinite triplets, quadruplets, umpteen uplets, all looking vaguely belligerent and far too eager. Roll up the window. Gnome's Hill, home to the concrete spires supporting elevated highways, where information and temptation reads sutured lips, sewn shut as the price of living, buying breath, as it were. And in between the in-between, skittish dogs, ribcage starving, prowl the outskirts of misery. Dirty dusk into night, pistol-whipped evening flashes its blood and stink, gaudy, loud, vulgar, brick-to-the-face noise, hammer hands prowl protected territories. Hard rock portraits wreathed in whiskey smoke, cracked knuckle scars, tense around glasses, brim full with honeyed fire. Terminals stop at the roar and spit of garbage flame, alive in barrels. Rusted through skeletons, warming their gathered kin, needles slide into puckered flesh. But bliss. Hallelujah is weak. Three meals cost to listen to saints and salvation's guard. Repent and recant. Breathing bodies rusted, busted, broken bits assembled under the traffic flash of supercycle screamers, screaming home, making the Wall Street nut who never glance at the twisted and beaten beneath, ever aware. They exist. End poem.
Wow, Laurent, that's got to be one of your deepest poems that I've ever read. You did a fabulous job of reading it. But I really enjoyed Drown in the New Age of Supercycle Screamers Who Beat at You with Crowns of Thorns, Old Voices in New Aspect, Making It All Great Again. You know, I thought it was fantastic. You know, it speaks to people who live with their eyes shut and, you know, see. I thought it was, you know, a fantastic take on the prompt. And I also really enjoyed Astropane's Where Are You Now? Lucky lad of long ago, your name still rings familiar after centuries. You are an immortal. Your opinion, please check on our debacle. You know, to find what humor he could find in it. And I thought it was wonderful. Terminal stop at the roar and spit of garbage flame up alive in barrels, rusted through skeletons, warming their gathered kin. Needle slide into puckered flesh, tricked by bliss. I mean, how fantastic is that? Intellectual right and fantastically read. Thank you for sharing, Lauren.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Absolutely. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I have to agree with you. I thought the poem was very philosophical, very insightful, and it just really touched on, you know, the things that happen in society, you know, the good and bad that happens and how we react to society. How do we perceive these things? Maybe one thing that is so good about writing is that perception. And I think Laurent is a fantastic step with that in the poem.
Thank you.
Wonderful comment. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Frank. And Laurent, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Look, a lot of people exist at the fringes. We don't see them, or we pretend not to see them. You know, we ride by them. The elevated highways, if you've ever looked underneath those, is where a lot of homeless people set up camp. And you got these concrete columns that stretch 50, 60, sometimes 100 feet in the air. And at their base, using the metaphor of jutting mountains, you have people living at the base of these spires. And it just had that image, and the poem grew out of that. Thank you for your comments.
Absolutely. Great job, Lauren. Thank you for sharing. All right, Weaver, what do we have next?
And next we have Something Loving by Dark Knight of the Soul, and I will give this a read. He lunges over poppy fields, running races he could never win. Mother watches boy from back porch, and her words are something loving. Skipping up school stairways of adolescence, 13, 14, 15, teachers hand out diplomas and tell him, move on, adulthood is waiting, and their tone is loving. He pirouettes over clouds where blue love reigns, and fiery powers of orange dandelion heartbreak, and lovers hold him to their bosoms, pulling, pushing away, and all the hellos and goodbyes are loving. He leaps past fields of his children and faces he'll remember when he's more vulnerable. He ages and stargazes from his floating home in the sky and measures his life in loving. End poem.
Wonderful comment. Great read. Thank you, Katie. And I thought it was a fantastic poem. You know, it speaks to the love that children receive in their adolescence and in their youth, making them more loving as adults. So I thought it was wonderful. Great chair and a great read, Katie. Lauren, what did you think? He's gone. Frank, what did you think?
You know, this brings me back to childhood memories there. You know, growing up and watching animations, you know, of depictions of things, you know, that we grew up with, you know. And, you know, just the whole notion itself of just going over the poppy fields itself just made me just want to get up and jump. But I thought fantastic metaphors, and it was a fantastic poem. Great imagery.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes. This is just so introspective, isn't it? Here's somebody who's looking at his life, and it obviously a wonderful life, because he's skipping and jumping and moving, and everybody is loving. That has got to be the nicest thing in the world. Even the teachers, well, my goodness me, it's got to be a first, I suppose, for everything. But even the teachers giving him his diploma are loving. So, yes, I think this is, I don't know if we're looking back on life and thinking of it as a little, you know, through rose-colored spectacles, but I still think this is very lovely. It's something you'd want to feel yourself, I think. So well done. And thank you so much for sharing that with us, Dark Knight of the Soul.
Absolutely. Great comment. All right, Weaver, I think we have time for one more. If you wouldn't mind putting it up, please.
Yes, of course. No problem. I'll do that. I can do this. This is not a problem. I'm getting so good at this. Okay, now we have... You're probably saying, no, you're not. Now we have The Encounter by S.V. Masterson. And Gray, would you care to read this for us, please?
Sure, you bet. Okay, so we have The Encounter by S.V. Masterson. A chalice beside my bed is filled with a very dark red wine. The vintage is a century old, the most ancient one I could find. My bed is adorned with blazing purple satin sheets. I will raise my goblet to all the spirits I hope to meet. The window of my room is open to the night. A single candle protects me with her light. The moon rises through the branches of the trees, dragging spirits from the forest floor with a spectral ease. Propped against a brocade pillow of silver and gold, etched with symbols from a time so long ago. On a windless night, the drapes begin to sway. Shadows find the window open and float my way. Moonlight illuminates the shadows, advance across the floor, inching closer, now blocking the way between the bed and the door. Perhaps this plan was not thought out. Now I'm not sure. End poem. And in his author's notes, he says, taking you with me on a ghost hunt. And I thought it was wonderful. It was filled with, you know, an unease that is slowly becoming reality in his world. So I thought it was fantastic. You know, you bring this on, but do you want it? You know, and I thought it was wonderful. A great ghostly write. What did you think, Weaver?
Well, first of all, I want that bed. That sounds incredibly comfortable. And the wine.
Yeah,
I mentioned it. Yes. Oh, beautifully written. I really enjoyed this. I love this. I love the spookiness. I do love spooky. You got that one single candle to protect me with her light. And then you have the spirits, the shadows opening and floating my way to the open window. Oh. And it ended too abruptly for me. I wanted to hear more. So I need to hear more about this. I want to know what the plan was. But yes, very, very written and very descriptive. So thank you so much for sharing.
Wonderful comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I do love dark stories, dark poetry. And I thought he did a fantastic job of conveying a narrative that really just made you think about what it is to find a ghost. You know, and I often think about ghosts at times, and I wonder whether or not they even know I'm around before I know they're around. It's a great, great write.
Great comment. Thank you. And thank you all for calling in tonight. Irish Rose, Frank, Laurent, Weaver, I appreciate you all, and much love. Good night, everybody. Thank you for sharing.
Take care. I'll be seeing. I just want to say one quick thing. I'm going to be traveling, so I'm not going to be able to call in for perhaps a few weeks.
Oh,
that's unfortunate.
Okay.
But I'll definitely try to hang on the board. I'll try to hang on the board. Okay.
Excellent. All okay. Right. Well, enjoy
Thank
your
you.
Travels.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Thank
you, everyone. I'll miss all of you, definitely.
Oh. Good night, everyone. Wonderful evening. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Good night.